This is Night Call. Broadcast live with host Russ Gibb and tonight's guest, W. Leonard Evans, Jr., editor, publisher, Chicago, Illinois. Tonight's subject, why do we need a Negro Sunday supplement? You participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Now here's Night Call host, Russ Gibb.
Hello, Night People. This is Gibb. Standing by in Chicago, Illinois, is Mr. W. Leonard Evans, Jr., editor and publisher of the new National Sunday Supplement magazine that comes out monthly called Tuesday. Mr. Evans has had a long and successful career in advertising and is a veteran Negro market consultant. Now, if you'd like to make a comment on tonight's topic, why do we need a Negro Sunday supplement, or ask Mr. Evans a question, give us a call here at Night Call. Our national Night Call number is area code 313-846-6601. Now, remember, you may call from anywhere collect. You may reverse the charges. Now, please make that call station to station. Our Night Call operators are on duty. Our lines are open, and we invite you to join us here at Night Call. Area code 313-846-6601. Mr. Evans, why do we need a Negro Sunday supplement?
Well, Russ, I think we need a supplement. I take a little exception to the designation Negro supplement because it basically is a supplement for everyone. It is primarily about Negroes, but it is, I think, in my opinion, the same as life is simply about white people. But one of the disturbing things, I think, in our society is the fact that most things that is done in the Negro area always has a label on it.
A race label on it.
That's right. In other words, see, when you say Negro supplement, it has a certain identification or a certain label that we think does not truly explain the intention. In other words, we feel that a magazine can be published about Negroes and yet be for everyone, the same as life basically is published about whites and is read by everyone. It's not that a magazine is produced or published on racial lines, even though the subject matter of the majority of the material may be to a specific group.
Do you think that white people will read the Tuesday magazine?
Well, we have every reason to believe that they will. In fact, we are the first publication that has been edited primarily about Negroes that has had as its basic policy a penetration and a policy to get white readership. Most of the other publications that have been published in the Negro field over the years have been only designed to persuade their own special community. They've never been designed to get white readership, so practically none of the major Negro publications today have any white readership to amount to anything. And at least if they do have it, they only get it by accident. But Tuesday becomes really the first magazine that is addressed consciously to the world. Its primary objective, of course, is to mirror and serve its own people, but by intent, it is meant for everyone. And right now, we have a circulation in the White households from New York to Los Angeles of about 350,000, which is more than all other Negro publications put together.
Well, that's quite a record for a new magazine.
Right.
Now, are you using regular distribution methods, or are you going in via the established?
No, we do something, again, that's unprecedented in journalism. We are distributed primarily in white daily newspapers in the major cities. We have what we call, we start with a controlled circulation formula, which gives us a basic audience of about 80% Negro and about 20% white. In other words, this is the same formula that is used any of the newspapers or Life or Look or any other of the major magazines where they have a majority white audience and a minority non-white. We simply have a majority non-white and a minority white audience. And we do this by starting from a point in which we circulate primarily on a controlled basis in the Negro areas and to the white homes and households in the adjoining or on the peripheral areas, and then into other selected areas that we agree on with the newspaper. Now, we do this simply because to go into the total circulation at this time, we don't have enough finances. And also, we think that this is an area in which we should do some research in before we force our publication into, I'd say, into the general white home. Because after all, Tuesday is a business proposition. We're in it just like any other publisher, just like Henry Luce of Time or Gardner Coles of Look. And in order to be sure that we are right and that we protect our investment, we have put Tuesday into the total circulation of the Rochester New York Times Union.
Now, are there any white people involved in the financing of Tuesday?
Oh, yes. We have a, in our stockholders, we have about 55% white and 45% Negro, but we've gotten our major capital in financing loans from a subsidiary of the First National Bank in Chicago, Illinois.
Now, what about classes of readership in Tuesday magazine? Now, most magazines are directed toward a certain class within the society. Are you striving for some class within the Negro society?
Well, no. We are striving more for family penetration. We have a formula that is designed to get readership not only on what I would call an economic cross-section of the Negro community, but an economic and an educational cross-section right in the family, as well as age. In other words, we have articles that are not only for the college graduate on the one hand, but we have articles that interest the teenager. We have articles that interest the cab driver, the domestic, the barber, or the high school teacher. So we feel that when our magazine goes into the home with our positive editorial concept that is designed basically to entertain and to reflect the aspirations of people, to point out some of our hopes, some of our weak spots, as well as some of our strong, that it'll be read by different members of the family, and as we have made our studies and our tests, well, we find that we're getting that type of readership in the homes that we go into.
Now, Mr. Evans, I've had the opportunity to receive 3 copies of Tuesday magazine in my local newspaper.
Yes.
And frankly, it's a very slick, well-done magazine. However, I notice that the advertisements tend to show what I would consider either middle or higher middle class Negro life.
Well, there's a very good reason for that, because this is the thing that makes the realistic side of what we call the Negro market. Now, many people think when you hear the term Negro market, it means only goods or the economic or the marketing activity among Negroes. But the term Negro market refers basically to the difference between the consumption patterns among Negroes of national brands as contrasted to the norm in the general market.
They're more brand conscious Negroes.
Yes, in other words, the national brand is sold just as effectively in the middle, from the middle down in the Negro area, as it is from the middle up. Now, in the white area, it's the exact opposite. Practically, there's very little percentage of sales of national brands in the lower different defensive position in the marketplace because he hasn't had much experience.
Why does he buy? I mean, what is this position that he takes?
Well, he, you see, having come from the, if you go back to the history of the African village, African civilization to, say, 2,500 years ago, you'll find that there was no trade, barter, and exchange carried on among the tribes or the villages in Africa, even though they were a mile or 2 miles apart. They didn't even have the same language or the same laws, and they didn't trade with each other. Now, in contrast this to the historical beginnings of white civilization, and it has always been centered around the marketplace, whether it was with the Phoenicians or the Greeks or the Romans, or even the earlier civilizations. Now, as you come up through the Industrial Revolution, on the one hand, you have the progeny of the African village coming over to this country and being exposed to a slave economy, which again offered no trade, barter, and exchange experience. So that in 1965, in 1865, at the emancipation, why, you had a group of people with no background in trade, barter, and exchange turned out into a capitalistic system. And one of the devices that they used to really to protect themselves in the marketplace was to purchase by brand and not by price. And this this trait of buying a product and purchasing has been in effect for nearly 100 years. Now, we find that in the 60s, there are many indications as the Negro becomes more economically secure and educated that the upper income groups in, among the Negroes in towns like New York, Washington, Chicago, are beginning to buy by price, you see, rather than by brand, which is, again, an exact opposite that happens in the higher income white families. So that there are advertisers who are interested in either arresting this switch to buying by price, or they're trying to protect themselves from the invasion of private labels or the brands by different individual or regional companies.
Well, now, what happens to the lower-class Negro? We'll say the Negro in Georgia who is back on the farm somewhere, and he looks at this magazine Tuesday, and he sees Negroes having a life that seems practically impossible to him. How does he feel about all this?
Well, if he sees it, I think he first place, he knows that this type of life exists. I think this is one of the reasons for the migration that we've had from the south to the north, east and the west. He sees this situation, whether it's in Tuesday, he sees it in the daily newspapers, or he sees it on TV that he's exposed to. And yet the very small percentage, you see the Negro population has switched from, I'd say in 1900, from almost a 90% rural population to today, it's nearly, I would say it would be almost 80% urban and 20% rural. So you're finding that the Negro has left the rural sections, and they are moving out. And they're moving out because of the experience that many of the people had during World War II, where they were exposed to many new things. Their taste changed. Their culture has been stepped up to the 1965. And you find that even in the most remote southern areas, you'll find brands being consumed that even some of the sophisticated Negroes in New York and Chicago don't even know about. I was on a survey, for example, about 4 years ago for a nationally known liquor company. And one of their new brands of a gin that they had brought over from England was being asked for at some of the small country stores in South Carolina on the crossroads. And the company had engaged my services to go out and find out how they could have found out about the these particular brands when there had been practically no advertising by the company in this area. And we found that it came through the correspondence of other members of the families or friends that had come back, and in order to impress some of their friends with their worldliness and their sophistication, they would ask for some of these unusual brands or brands that they knew that were new to the market.
Our guest tonight, Mr. W. Leonard Evans, Jr. He's editor and publisher of Tuesday Magazine. Our topic, why do we need a Negro Sunday supplement? You're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Quite self-sufficient. I made myself what I am, thank you.
But don't you think all of us occasionally could use a little divine or...
Gee, I gotta run. Here's my card, anyhow. I'm a vice president now.
Well, good.
Yes, indeed.
But your name, it's just penciled in here.
Well, there's a big turnover in personnel. You know how it is.
Uh-huh. Well, that's just about how it is in life, isn't it?
Pardon?
We're all just penciled in.
And where'd you get the idea you could make it all by yourself? Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes out on that limb without him? It's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your own.
The preceding was presented by the United Presbyterian Church. This is Night Call, and here is host, Russ Gibb.
Hello again, Night People. Our guest tonight is Mr. W. Leonard Evans, Jr. He's editor and publisher of a new Negro magazine called Tuesday Magazine. And our topic, why do we need a Negro Sunday supplement? What's behind the thinking? Do you think that magazines that are directed to more or less one race are important in American society? As Mr. Evans has pointed out, Tuesday Magazine is directed to anybody that can read, more or less, and people who like good, light reading. So if you'd like to comment, give us a call here at Night Call. Our national number is area code 313-846-6601. Now remember, you may dial us direct, and if you wish, you may make that call collect. You may reverse the charges. Our Night Call number, area code 313-846-6601. Our lines are open, and we invite you to join us here on Night Call. Mr. Evans, I have a caller standing by in Denver, Colorado, a listener on KTLN, Mr. Bob Anderson. Good evening, Bob. Speak right up, sir. You're on Night Call.
Yes, Mr. Evans, when you publish this supplement about a particular group, restricting the features and stories to this particular group, doesn't this sort of give a stamp of approval to the idea of segregation? Or in other words, doesn't it embrace the concept of separate groups?
Well, there's a possibility, but we don't do that. In other words, we don't just confine our editorial material to things just about Negroes. In other words, we have stories in there about whites as well. And we don't restrict our publication to just Negro features any more than Life or Look just restricts. We'll restrict our editorial material to that only about whites. I mean, from time to time, you'll pick up Life or Look or any other publication, and you will see a story in there about a Negro or a Negro family or something that is connected with Negro life. Now, we just simply do the same thing, so it isn't a magazine that only deals with one side of the subject or with one group of people. We have, for example, have done an article about General de Gaulle and his relationship with some of his French, former French colonists. We've done something about the Germans. And we have pictures of these people in our magazine. So it's not something that only deals or discusses or shows pictures.
The Negro Sunday Supplement. That's, as I recall.
Sir?
I believe it was described as a Negro Sunday Supplement.
Yeah, well, that was my comment, and I thought that that was a misnomer, you see, because it's a supplement that's about Negroes, but I wouldn't say that. I think to label it a Negro supplement, and it would be the same as if I would say that this week of parade was a white supplement. I mean, and we don't use that term.
Of course, I've often wondered if these publications such as Ebony and things like that didn't actually promote the ideas of separation.
Well, I think that they do, and that's one that's because they don't make any effort to get their broad general circulation. I mean, I think that they sustain segregation by the way that they restrict their readership. So what we're doing, we are doing just the opposite. We're trying to develop. In fact, we have been successful in developing a publication that's read by Negroes as well as whites, and we have it as a part of our policy to develop white readership. And this is the first time in the history of publishing business in this country that this type of thing has been attempted.
May I ask one short one, Russ?
Go right ahead, Bob.
Now, what happens when you run into these bigoted and prejudicial white people? Do they immediately cancel their subscriptions, or what is that?
Well, I tell you, I'll be very happy to tell you what our experience. We have distributed. We've only had three issues out, and out of that, we've had there've been 4,200,000 copies distributed. Now we have had only 43 cancellations in all the papers all over the country out of the 4,200,000. And I would say that we have, as far as the whites are concerned, in the city of Rochester, we're in the total circulation. The Rochester Times Union, to my knowledge, at this date, has not lost one subscription. And I think this is due to the fact of the type of editorial policy that we have, that we entertain. And we tell many white people things about a part of this society that they've never even heard about. And I'll give you one example. It's a story we had about Negro cowboys. Well, there were very few white people that know that there were Negro cowboys that helped in the development of the West. And we find that also that there were practically no Negroes that knew it, and yet it is an historical fact.
Mr. Anderson, I want to thank you for calling Night Call.
By subscription,
sir?
Is this available by subscription?
Yes, we're setting up. It'll be available by subscription, and then in February, it'll be on the sale on the newsstands in your city.
Well, Bob, I want to thank you for calling Night Call.
Appreciate it.
Mr. Bob Anderson, a gentleman from Denver, Colorado, listening on KTLN, who is concerned that maybe a magazine that is strictly race-orientated might do more to perpetuate the evils of segregation. Mr. Evans, we have a caller standing by again in Denver, Colorado, a listener on KTLN, Miss Blanche Collins. Good evening, Blanche. You're on Night Call, ma'am.
Good evening, sir.
Hi.
First of all, I want to ask several questions. What type of articles, mostly, is your magazine accepting? I'm a writer. And what kind of plans? The length of your articles?
Well, the type of articles that we seek are the things that what I would call it accentuate the positive. We are looking for stories in sports. We are looking for things like history. We are looking for what we call stories about the various job opportunities that are available, the new opportunities opening in the many industries that need Negro help. We talk about education. We are interested in things like an article we had about Godfrey Cambridge, which describes the history and of Negro humor, when it started, what it went through, and how it got to the Dick Gregorys and the Godfrey Cambridges and the Rochester Andersons, and what's implied in it. This type of thing. We take articles anywhere from 1,500 to 3,000 words. It depends on the subject. We have stories on genealogy. We seek short stories, stories about personality, Negro and white, that are of interest to people.
I think that's the key word in your magazine, people, again.
That's right. That's right, and it doesn't make... it comes out once a month, the second Sunday in each month. It is a monthly that appears in the Metropolitan Sunday newspapers in most cities.
Mr. Evans?
Yeah.
I think Blanche would be interested in why you named the magazine Tuesday. I read a little blurb about that, and I thought that was an interesting story. Would you like to
read
that?
Well, yes. Tuesday was the original Negro News Day from a historical point of view. The papers were published on Tuesday in the northern cities and sent through the mails to their subscribers, who were primarily in the South. And we thought about the name first in honor of the traditional Negro News Day. And then I just always liked the poem about Monday's child is fair faced and Tuesday's child is full of grace. And we tested it out and found out that the name Tuesday was liked by 16 times more people than any other name.
You're kidding.
We named it. Yes, that was it.
Do you think there's something psychological about Tuesday being closer to Friday?
Well, I don't know, but everyone seems to like it, and I just wouldn't change it for anything.
Blanche, did you have another comment?
Yes. What city is this paper published in?
It's published, we've published in Chicago. We have editorial offices in New York, but it's an Illinois corporation located in Chicago, Illinois.
Now, I think maybe Blanche was trying to get at what newspapers are carrying this across the country.
Oh, I see. All right, I'll tell you very quickly. The New York Journal American, the Boston Advertiser, Rochester Times Union, Philadelphia Bulletin, the Cleveland Plain Dealer, the Detroit News, the Milwaukee Journal, and the Milwaukee Sentinel, the Chicago Sun-Times, and the Los Angeles Herald-Examiner.
What is the name of the publication in Chicago?
It's the Tuesday Publications Incorporated.
Publications?
Incorporated. Yes.
I sure wish you a lot of luck. I hope you keep and maintain a large circulation.
Well, thank you so much.
Blanche, thank you for calling Night Call. Miss Blanche Collins, a lady from Denver, Colorado, who wanted to wish Mr. Evans and Tuesday Magazine all the best. And of course, Blanche was listening on radio station KTLN. Our guest tonight is Mr. W. Leonard Evans, Jr. He's editor and publisher of Tuesday Magazine, a new magazine with primary emphasis on the Negro in America. You're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Well, I can't this Sunday. I'm playing golf, and the following Sunday, I promise to take the kids to the beach.
Uh-huh.
Man's got to spend some time with his kids, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Besides, we seem to get along just fine without church. You know, it's up to the individual. Gee, look at the time. I got to run. But anyhow, we'll trot along to church one of these days.
Uh-huh. Well, how about 2 weeks from Sunday?
Oh, I never planned that far ahead. 2 weeks, the whole world could blow up by then.
That's right.
Where'd you get the idea you could make it all by yourself? Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes out on that limb without him? It's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your own.
The preceding was presented by your Council of Churches.
This is Night Call, and here is host, Russ Gibb.
Why do we need a Negro Sunday supplement? That's our topic on Night Call tonight, gentle people, and our guest is Mr. W. Leonard Evans, Jr. He's editor and publisher of a new magazine called Tuesday Magazine. If you'd like to join us here on Night Call and express your opinion on the new Tuesday Magazine or ask some questions about how Mr. Evans, a Negro, got involved in publishing, give us a call here at Night Call. Our national number is area code 313-846-6601. Now remember, you may call from anywhere collect. Our Night Call operators are on duty, our lines are open, and we invite you to join us here on Night Call. Now remember, please make that call station to station. If you get a busy signal, don't become discouraged. Just hang up and dial again. Area code 313-846-6601. Let us know what you think about the idea of having magazines with several races mixed in and learning about other people and how they live. We're interested in your opinion. Mr. Evans, I have a caller standing by in Indianapolis, Indiana, listener on WFBM, Mr. William Spinks. Good evening, Mr. Spinks. You're on Night Call, sir.
Well, thank you. If I understood Mr. Evans correctly, I think he said that the descriptions were 80% Negro and 20% white. Is that correct?
Yeah, the readership, the circulation is 80% Negro and 20% white. That's about the figure.
Well, now, how are you distributed?
Well, we are distributed in the metropolitan newspapers at the present time in 10 cities.
And what kind of papers?
Sir?
What kind of papers?
Well, the white daily newspapers, for example, the Chicago Sun-Times, Chicago, the Milwaukee Journal, the Cleveland Plain Dealer, the Philadelphia Bulletin, the New York Journal American, the Los Angeles Herald Examiner. Okay. And what we do, we don't distribute in, we haven't started out by distributing in the total circulation. We use over what we call an island circulation. And we get this is how we get our composition, you see, and how we get our percentages. So we end up in these 10 cities. We have 1,400,000 circulation in these 10 cities, and of that, 20% white and 80% Negro.
Well, let me ask you, sir, are you suggesting that if I should, like I take the Indianapolis Star?
Yes.
I cannot subscribe, if I do not wish to subscribe for your supplement, I can not subscribe for it?
Well, you'd get it automatically, wouldn't you?
Sir?
If a newspaper carries it and it's in that area that you're going to insert Tuesday Magazine, you get it automatically.
That's why I was wondering about the percentages.
That's right. He would get it automatically if he lived in.
You'd get it, wouldn't you?
Yes, if you live within that geographical area, yes.
See, but not everybody that gets the newspaper will get Tuesday. They just certain areas of the city
that's
right. Distributed in.
Yeah, I know about that. I know, but recently the Star distributed material for subscription magazines. Certain areas they didn't distribute because they were poor.
Yes.
Areas, you know what I mean?
Yes, that's right.
And I can understand that. You mentioned about the fact that Negroes knew much little about bargaining, et cetera, before they came to this country.
Yes.
Are you sure about that, sir?
Yes, I am. I mean, if you just take the situation in Nigeria today, there are 413 different dialects. One of the problems of independence is people don't have the same language. Well, the 413 different dialects in the same country mean that the different villages don't even talk the same language.
Yeah, but
you see?
What about within the villages? What about within the villages themselves?
Well, then that is an isolated situation. I mean, trade and barter and exchange has been developed by people actually going from different places and exchanging goods and services that each other perform. That's the basis of trade. I mean, I'm quite sure that a town like Indianapolis wouldn't become very very sophisticated if they just traded right within the city limits. Well, this is what happened 2,500 years ago in Africa. You see, the trade was carried on by the Chinese and the East Indians. You see, they brought the caravans down through the Africans were so concerned with the ravages of the disease in that area and the wild animals that each village was actually practically an isolated area. Now, history will prove this, you see. And most certainly they didn't get any trade that the progeny of these early Africans didn't get any trade, bartered, exchange experience in the slave economy.
Is this why, Mr. Evans, many white people have the idea that a Negro is an easy mark if he has some money in his pocket?
Well, basically that was the reason. And the other reason is that he is perhaps the greatest pre-sold customer in the American economy.
Now, what do you mean by that?
Well, he knows more about what he wants when he goes into a store than the average white person. In other words, let's take the retail appliance business. Now, a Negro will go into a department store and ask for a white 15 2/10 cubic foot Frigidaire with automatic defrosters in the Imperial design, we'll say, which is the one of the better ones. And he will not come in and ask for what we would call the lost leader, which many white families will do and come in and you offer them the lost leader, then trade them up. With the Negro, you offer him the top and trade him down. I mean, this is a practice even the automobile salesmen use.
Mr. Evans, do you think that this is possible, that the Negro buys good quality merchandise because of the inferior status that he's had to suffer in society?
No, I don't think that. I think it has come from, this is one of the, I would say, one of the good products that came out of the master-slave relationship. You see, in the slave caste system, the theory, I guess I can best describe it as the pass-me-downs, the landed gentry bought the fine clothes and so forth. When they discarded them, they gave them to the slaves on the plantation. So some of the first clothes that many Negroes had were Stacy Adams' shoes or the fine shirts or the...
Good quality merchandise.
Good quality that were bought by the landed gentry.
Why, yes, Mr. Spinks.
I'm afraid I can't agree with you, Mr. Evans, on this bartering situation, because as far as I've been able to understand, the Africans, the Egyptian, area in that, the people in that area were the first people who began to learn how to work under the barter situation.
Well, I will agree with you on the northern African culture, the Egyptian. But I'm talking about the.
You're talking about down along the Gold Coast.
That's right. Where they
also knew about bartering, and that was their earliest type of trading.
Well,
they didn't have any money.
Well, listen, if they didn't speak the same language, how did they communicate, and why is it that
the Indians did in this country?
Well, if the Indians did, the historical evidence is that the trade that was carried on at that time was done, the period that I'm talking about was done by the Chinese. And I don't know of any, evidence historically that indicates that the African in that period in history were tradesmen. I mean, they have there were no fleets, there were no boats. The caravans were all owned and controlled by countries and people outside of the areas. Now the Egyptians, I'm not talking about that. A particular area or their civilization. And even under the Egyptian situation, most of the blacks that came from the South were in the capacity of slaves.
If they had known how to bargain, you're saying that through slavery they lost a great deal.
They lost it 350 years. They lost it. They knew how to bargain. They didn't know how to bargain in terms of the sophistication of the white that had settled in this country, that had brought, that had been through the French Renaissance and the Industrial Revolution and the serfdom cycle in our history. That's all.
Mr. Spinks?
Yes.
Did you have any other comments?
No, I'm afraid I'm going to have to let you.
Well, I want to thank you for calling Night Call.
Thank you.
Thank you for your informed comments, Mr. William Spinks, from Indianapolis, Indiana, listener on WFBM. A gentleman who disagrees with Mr. Evans that Negroes did not know how to bargain. Our guest tonight, of course, is Mr. W. Leonard Evans, Jr. He's editor and publisher of Tuesday Magazine. Our topic, why do we need a Negro Sunday supplement? Our Night Call number is area code 313-846-6601, and we invite you to join us here on Night Call. Mr. Evans, it seems to me that one service that Tuesday Magazine is giving to the American people is that it is allowing many white folks, for the first time, to take a new look at the Negro. In other words, sort of discover the Negro. Do you think that this is this conscious on your part as editor to develop this awareness of the Negro as far as the white man is concerned?
Yes, I think this is one of the things that we have sought to do. We feel that that after all, the white community should know something about our plans, our hopes, our aspirations, something about some of our disappointments, something other than the one-sided dialogue. I think Tuesday's purpose can be very easily summed up when we say that we are trying to establish the first honest dialogue with the white community.
Well, now, do you find that white men are responding to this dialogue?
Yes, we do. We get calls and letters every day. We just regret that we just don't have the financial resources to expand our circulation into much larger areas. We also regret the fact that we don't have the research and the know-how to want to proceed too fast. But we are growing. There's every indication that the white community likes our product and wants more of it, and we are working as fast and best we can to see that they get it.
Our guest tonight is Mr. W. Leonard Evans, Jr.
He's editor and publisher of Tuesday Magazine. Our topic, why do we need a Negro Sunday supplement? You're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Busy America! Busy America! Busy making money, busy buying gadgets, busy keeping up with you-know-who.
Is that your idea of fulfillment?
Don't you wonder if there's more to life than just that rat race with no finish line? Where do you get the idea you could make it all by yourself? Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes out on that limb without him? It's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your own.
The preceding was presented by your Council of Churches. This is Night Call, and here is host, Russ Gibb.
Our guest is Mr. W. Leonard Evans, Jr. He's editor and publisher of Tuesday Magazine. Mr. Evans is a Negro and has had a wide background in advertising and in market research for Negro markets particularly, and yet I'm sure that he's worked in white markets also. He's recently published a new magazine called Tuesday, which is orientated toward the Negro, even though white people do read it and enjoy it. And we're asking him questions and commenting on the impact of Tuesday Magazine on the American scene. Mr. Evans, do you think that basically the Negro has a poor press image in the white press in the United States?
Yes, I do. I think that he has it. It's not anything that's designed or intended by a great number of the newspapers in our country, or even radio or television. I think it happens just because it's one of the peculiarities of, let's say, history. But it happens basically because the Negro suffers from what we call the color barrier, and therefore he is the only ethnic group, or the one ethnic group, or one of the main ethnic groups, is not absorbed and assimilated into the mainstream of our society.
Of course, this is because he carries his difference with him in the color
of his
skin.
That's right, that's right. Now, in our society, he's not been able to find the newspaper people have not been able to find a way to expose the Negro in the positive side of the paper, for example. In other words, the first three or four pages of any daily newspaper is usually devoted to what we call the negative news in the community. And it's about everybody, whether they be white or Negro. It entails the crimes and divorce and the sensational news. But the balance of the paper, a metropolitan paper, carries the positive happenings in that particular community, in the financial pages, the women's pages, children's pages, and so forth. And due to the color barrier and other things, that the lack of assimilation, the Negro has only had exposure, we're saying, in the sports pages and the entertainment. So the result has been that there's been a continued overemphasis on the negative, on the crime and the relief situation and the ghettos and all of the negative things, so that the white community has, in our opinion, a one-sided view.
Now, our night call number is area code 313-84-66601. And remember, you may call from anywhere in the United States collect. Now, please make that call station to station. Our number again, area code 313-84-66601. And we're talking tonight with Mr. W. Leonard Evans, Jr. And Mr. Evans, we have a caller standing by in Denver, Colorado, a listener listening on KTLN, Mrs. Murphy. Good evening, Mrs. Murphy. You're on Night Call, ma'am.
Good evening, Mr. Evans.
Yes.
I must take issue with some of the things that you have said tonight.
All right.
I suggest that you read more about your own history.
All right.
For instance, you said that the trade between the tribes was not possible because of dialect. Is that true?
I think,
they
Mr. Murphy,
able to barter?
Yes.
Some
you
trade.
Are absolutely and completely wrong. You are quoting history as is quoted by the white man. You're not thinking, sir.
I'm not.
For instance, you said that the Egyptians, you talked as though the Egyptians were some other race of people, and that the black Africans were brought to the Egyptians under slavery. Sir, you will find that the ancient Egyptians were black people.
Well, I think that you misunderstood me.
I should only go by what you said.
Well,
it's disgusting to hear a man in this enlightened day get on the air and from coast to coast cut his own throat. It's terrible. You're quoting what somebody told you to say. You're not talking out of any knowledge, sir. And I don't see why anyone would want to buy your book under that, your paper.
Well, will you let me answer you?
Well, I sure hope you do.
Well, all right. Well,
a lot of damage tonight.
Well, I would like
Miss Murphy.
In our city, and he was talking some of the same things.
Who is this?
Stupid Negroes talk.
Who is this?
Sheriff Jim Clark. He was in our city tonight.
Okay.
And he was talking all of his bigoted ideas. And the young man on station KTLN, who I do not agree with, was on the air this very night, telling his race truths about the African civilizations, about the African cultures. And then you, a Negro, get on the air and you tear down every truth that was ever spoke in our behalf.
Mrs.
And
Murphy?
I am utterly disgusted with you, sir.
Well, that is your privilege, madam.
Now, what facts do you have to substantiate the fact
Miss Murphy?
Well, let me finish.
Will you let Mr. Evans have his say now, please?
The facts are this. First place, I know as well as you do that there were many, many Egyptians that were black. And I had one of the great civilizations of the world. And what I said was that the Egyptians in their civilization did have slaves. They had slaves not only that were black, they had slaves that they had captured in the wars where they'd gone to Persia and even had some that they'd gone over into Rome, into that area, and had captured. I had said that I listened to you, and I said that they had gotten the slaves that they had. The ones that came from the South had been captured in the wars. That's all I said. I did not say that or imply that the Egyptians were not black.
Well, please, I'm glad to hear you make that fact known over the air.
Well, yes, they were black. They were black. In fact, that whole area was black, and they still are. They still are.
We have the most civilization in the history of mankind.
That's right. I agree with you.
Mrs. Murphy?
Language and all of these things, and even medicine, things that are being
passed
down now.
I agree with you.
We, the black people, first had. We had the oldest civilization.
I agree with you.
Do you not?
Mrs. Murphy?
I'm agreeing with you. I'm not against you.
Miss Murphy, can I ask you a question? Mrs. Murphy, I'd like to ask you a question.
Yes?
Do you belong to the black nationalist group?
No, I don't belong to any group.
Can you give me some information?
On behalf of those people. I have spoken on behalf of the black nationalist group.
I see.
Because I think that what they advocate will finally be what, we'll all have to concede is the best policy.
Now, can you give me a piece of information?
Yes.
Were all the Egyptians, were they Negro or were they black-skinned people? Is there a difference?
No, not really. You see, the black man was the first man to inhabit the earth, period. The black man had various tribes of blacks. There was some with straight features. There was some with large features. There was some with straight hair. There was some with kinky hair.
That's right. It all depended on the geographical location of where they were in Africa. If they were in the north, dry country like the Egyptians were, they were a different color than those that were in the bush by the equator in the hot jungle.
Miss Murphy?
I can hear you very well. Is this Mr. Evans speaking or Mr.
Yes. No, that was Mr. Evans that was speaking then. I was just saying that usually the color was determined by the geographical location.
Thank you for your opinions.
Thank you.
Good night, ma'am.
Okay.
A lady who has some strong opinions. Mr. Evans, what do you think about some of those comments?
Well, I think that part of them they're right. I think that she misinterpreted what I said, and she was uh, she opinion. I think that most certainly there's nothing in Tuesday Magazine that justifies what she says.
I think she'd be quite surprised if she had a chance to read.
I think that she should read the copy. And if she's talking about history, we are planning to run a feature on Hannibal. And most certainly Hannibal was one of the great names of history. And was a man of black color, which not only am I proud, but I think there are many people in the world who knows the story can only have pride in a man who had the military genius that this man had.
We have one caller, and we have time to get to this person, Mr. Frank Curtis, who's listening in Anderson, Indiana, listening on WFBM. And Mr. Curtis, good evening, and welcome to Night Call. We have about a minute for you, sir.
Good morning, Russ. My question is in the area of employment. Can the speaker hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. Suppose that he needed additional employees in his, as reporters or for his magazine.
Yes.
Who would he most likely employ to do the particular reporting? Would he employ Negroes or Caucasians, since he's catering basically to Negroes, but he wants the publication?
Well, I would hire the best man available for the job. In fact, we do that right now, and our editorial staff is about right now 60% white and 40% Negro, and is not based on a selection of whether Negro or white, but whether they can do the job and have the understanding of the problem that we assign to them.
Frank, I think he answered your question.
That's right. Thank you.
And thank you for calling Night Call.
Okay.
Mr. Frank Curtis, a gentleman listening in Anderson, Indiana, on WFBN. Mr. Evans, I want to thank you for being our guest on Night Call tonight. We certainly enjoyed having you, and of course we wish the best of luck to Tuesday Magazine.
Well, thank you, Russ, and it's been a pleasure.
Tomorrow night on Night Call, our guest will be the Reverend William Peckham. Our topic, do our kids dig religion today? Until then, this is Gibb wishing you good luck and Godspeed.
Night Call is produced by the Methodist Church in cooperation with the National Council of Churches and this radio station as a radio forum dedicated to the frank discussion of vital issues of daily life. Night Call encourages its participants to express freely and responsibly their own personal opinions.